Well, hello there again, beautiful cabbie women. We are doing our third podcast of the season, and today I get to chat with someone who is one of the most masterful connectors I have ever met. But before I introduce her, I do want to just take a moment and set a little context for our conversation today. I've been doing a lot of thinking since ever since I started preparing for the talk that I did with you at the Scoop, and since then, and reading all of your comments, and it's like we all know that the real true connection is absolutely essential to our well-being. And we also acknowledge that we do live in a time right now where the lack of connection is causing so much anxiety and stress, and it is a serious threat to the length and fulfillment of life. As I've been reading your comments, and some of you have even sent me articles, and it's just been a fascinating discussion and subject matter. But and in fact, recently I read that the former U.S. Surgeon General wrote an article in the Harvard Business Review just not too long ago stating that the most common pathology he saw wasn't heart disease or diabetes or cancer, like all those things that we hear so often about. He said it is loneliness. And he said that not only is loneliness fatal, which those are grim words, he said it is worse for your body than smoking 15 packs of cigarettes a day. And he said it's associated with cardiovascular disease and dementia, depression, and anxiety. But here's what he went on to say that just blew me away. He said that Americans are the loneliest workers in the world. It just made me start wondering, why is that? What have we done? What have we become? How have we lost our love for connection? Well, today, I want to introduce you to somebody who is not only a dear, dear friend of mine, but I've known her for a long time, because she is one of Cabbie's founders. She is what I would call a master connector. There is a real art to what she does, and we're going to get into that today. And I know you're going to get some amazing nuggets out of our time together. So welcome today, Kim Carpenter. Kim, hi.
Oh, thank you. And I truly would rather be sitting there side by side with you. I'm glad that we have some modern technology that allows us to have this great conversation together.
Well, now, for those of you that don't know, while Kim is a founder, she is, of all the founders, the only one that neither Carol nor I knew personally before she started with us in Cabbie. And that is what makes her relationship with us so special.
Kimberly, it's funny. I love to share that story. And it's so relevant to our styles today, because I say I was the true first referral. And that yeah. is so much a part of our business today. It is about the power of a connection and a referral that somebody shares with somebody else.
I know that was one referral that I will forever be grateful for. You have added so much to the founder team. But one of the things that I have to say we are most grateful for, and we discovered this when we all did Strengths Finders together, is that you have the strength called woo, winning others over. And and we always kid you that we're so glad you have that, because none of us do.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about the gifts that all the others have. It's kind of that the grass is greener on the other side, and you wish you had something you don't.
But we do. But together. I love that. It's a beautiful thing to watch and learn from. And even in those early days when nobody had ever heard of us, you were our top salesperson. And I love that about you. You would just go in fearlessly. You were not so much about selling the clothes as much as you were just about your love for getting together with women. You just love people, don't you?
I truly do. Basically, I look at everyone I meet as a possible friend. I assume that people really do care about each other genuinely. And that's kind of how I set forth in my day and new people that I meet, whether it's somebody at a show or even just in life at a dinner party or somewhere where I don't happen to know everybody. I think it really does start with a mindset. The reality is it takes work. I have to walk in to that situation knowing I'm going to strike up a conversation with somebody. And if I walk into it with the phrase that we have used, you want to be interested more than you want to be interesting.
Yeah.
And I try and carry that out is I'm meeting new people and I'm passionate about what they have to say.
Yep.
So wherever I am, I guess I really try to be present. That's the most important part. When I find things that they get passionate about, or when you see a sparkle in their eye, you try and go a little bit deeper with those. And I really am curious, you know, kind of the child who asks, why, you know, we laugh, but I really want to know more.
Well, I, you know, something I've noticed in you, Kim, is first of all, you ask questions very intentionally, but you look at people in their eyeballs, but your eyes say, I truly want to know whatever it is I've just asked you. And you have this look of expectation. It's a smile that says, I don't care what comes out of your mouth. I know I'm going to just love it. And it gives that person confidence to respond and to talk. Let me ask you this. Did you learn to do that? Do you go into a situation knowing which questions to ask? How did you come about to learn to do this so easily?
I think truly part of it is just my spirit. I do enjoy getting to know people. It comes from a really genuine place. But I think as we do our shows, early on, one of the things that I had to adapt is not all of these people are going to become great friends. And so how do you do this and be genuine when you know you might not see them again for 6 months or so? And I didn't want it to be trite. I truly did care. So like the minute I left a show, I'd get in the car and I would write 2 to 3 things about each person so that when I went back 6 months later, I knew something about her. So I started that practice early on, but I kind of walk into my shows even now, whether it's a gal that I've known for 15 years or somebody new, I try and get to know 2 to 3 things new about her or that I didn't know last time. And so I ask questions until I get to that point.
What, like, for somebody that doesn't have that outgoing personality like you do, what is like one simple question that anybody can ask as they are, you know, you're at a show, people are walking in the door? What's that one question they can ask to get the conversation going?
Well, this one I have to give credit to my coach and dear friend, Robin Pugh, who recommends asking people this question: what's new in your world? And what I love about that is whether she's a longtime friend of 15 years, or maybe this is the first or second time I've met her at a show. It generally opens up so much for her to answer. It's something that they can be enthusiastic about. It starts off that conversation, which gives me a launching point to then go to the next point. Tell me a little bit more about that. But it's better and more open-ended than some of the other questions I've asked in the past.
I love that. That is such a simple question. And then you follow it up with your why questions, and it just allows you to go deeper. It reminds me, Larry King was once asked why he's such a good interviewer. And he said, I'm just curious. Once you have that open-ended question, and then you follow it up with why, it allows things to go deeper. It, clearly, it works for you.
When you can go up and even say, hi, I'm Kim. How do you know the hostess? It just takes a little bit of barriers away. So whether I can just ask that or get to know a few people, say my name, oh, I've known the hostess. How have you known the hostess? So that when I do start my show, I feel that there is a little bit more of a consensus says, I'm one of you. I'm not the outside guest that's just standing up there.
It makes it so much easier as well than after the presentation, because you can do a great presentation, but if you don't know how to connect with the women as they're starting to try things on, or even to get them to try things on, it just falls flat. So what do you do after?
So after my presentation's finished and I kind of take that sigh of relief, I also know this is when my job begins. They're going to have a show experience like no other. I'm going to be able to help them with fit, with the things they're looking for. And I love to enlist the help of the other guests there. So when we're looking for the Cunningham shirt, nobody can find it, I can yell out, who's got the red and gray plaid shirt? Susie needs it over here. And it's really fun to watch people, I found it. But that's really where the connectiveness begins. And yeah. I can enlist the help of everybody there. They all want to help their girlfriends at the end of the day.
Kim, I love what you just said about what happens after the presentation, because it seems like that's where the real deeper connection can happen, where that woman is wondering, you know, do I try this on? Can I look good? Do I look good? And you have an opportunity to really connect with those deeper parts of her. In fact, Kim, you know, as I was doing research for the talk that I did at Scoop, and given so much thought to this whole subject matter of connection, I am more and more convicted that what we do at Cabbie is so very important, that women, people want to feel seen and known and loved, and it happens at the show. And that's why we are so much more than just about a great fashion. We are really part of something deeply human. And I always say it's not just a fashion project, it's a human project. There's this book called The General Theory of Love by a group of psychiatrists. And they just say, you know, a good deal of modern American culture is an extended experiment in the effects of depriving people of what they crave the most. And what they go on to say is we have forgotten that what people crave the most is really the evidence that they are seen and loved through hospitality, community, solidarity.
Oh, it's so true. I love the way you've called it, the human project. I have so many women that tell me they look forward to the Cabbie show for months. And it's truly because of relationships. More and more women are not getting together. And it's so funny, Kimberly. I think back to 17 years ago when we started Cabbie, and we truly believed that there was something about gathering women together around fashion and relationships that was unique and different. But I don't think we had a clue how relevant it was going to be today. It truly blows me away when I watch what happens at these shows, something that happens when we are face to face. What happens at our shows with relationships starts with the clothes, but it goes so much further than that. That's where you find out the struggle that the girlfriend's going through, or her children as they've gotten older, the adult issues of our children. So many incredible conversations happen at our show. So when they say, I was so looking forward to this show this month, part of it is the clothes, but there's the whole part of it that these girlfriends get together and help one another with their buying choices, but also connect.
Oh, Kim, I could not agree with you more. And that is the heart of what we're about. And you do that so well. Okay, Kim, we are now at the time when I want to wrap with asking you three questions, which I do at the end of my session with each guest. What is one way you are currently using technology to bring positive efficiencies into your day-to-day life?
So this last season, I embraced CheddarUp, loaded all of my samples onto CheddarUp, and embracing it and working with it, as well as I relaunched my business Facebook page. I launched it about a year ago and then didn't post anything for about a year. So I'm committed to really trying to embrace technology in that way.
Good. What are you doing to control your relationship with technology so that it doesn't control you?
Well, I'm really working hard at that this season. And I am an avid walker. I love to get outside of my home office and go on a walk. And I always take my cell phone with me because I need a watch. Of course, you need to look at the time. And I decided that I'm going to leave my phone in my car when I go out on my walks. So I am for 45 minutes to an hour, I can leave that phone in the car.
Great. Great. Do you actually use an old-fashioned watch?
Nope. I just walk with nothing.
So, good for you. Your own inner clock.
That's right.
Well, what is one way you're elevating the social connection in your life right now, which of all the people I know, I can't imagine that you need to elevate it any more than you already do. But no. Anyway, any new ideas?
Actually, there is something that I'm doing new, and it came off of one of the things that we launched at Scoop. And that is the idea of writing a letter. And I loved the Better Together stationery. I am writing 3 notes a week. Don't call them letters, but 3 notes. And it, whether it's somebody that I encountered during the week and they just made a huge impact. I went to one of my doctor's appointments, yearly checkups this year, and we struck up a really neat conversation about the heart of cabbie. And it just struck me that she cared and took time outside of her day-to-day business to connect personally. And I wanted her to know that that made a difference, that I really enjoyed it. So I just wrote her a little note and thanked her for who she is in her profession. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to write 3 letters or notes a week.
Well, Kim, you really are a master connector, and you really are making a difference in hundreds of women's lives. So I think we can honestly say you have affected lives through relationship. You've made it a reality. And I can't thank you enough for that. Thank you for this time. This has been fun to connect with you. And so, ladies, that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, have a great week connecting. Bye-bye.